Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Chof, 24 lines from the top. On the side, in the margin of our marked Gemara, you will notice a nosei. The nosei is the topic heading, which briefly reads, Achilas Ksus Birshus Harabim. An animal eats clothing in a public thoroughfare. What is the law regarding payment for damages? The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah. You can find the quote from the Mishnah by using the arrow that you see and referring back to Daf Yud Tes Omid Beis. You find the parallel arrow, second wide line, where the Mishnah reads, Ochlo Ksusa Kelim Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. An animal ate Ksus, a clothing or Kelim vessels. The owner must pay half damages. Mamed vamamurim birshus hanizik, avol birshus harabim potter, v'imnenis mishalemis mashinenis. The Mishnah qualifies that the payment is in a private domain, but in a public domain there is exemption. We turn to our Gemara, and it says ochluksus v'chulei, and note. We made a note of the continuation of the Mishnah, but in a public domain there is exemption. The Gemara asks, Ahei, regarding what, on what is the Mishnah exemption referring? In other words, the Mishnah said that in a public thoroughfare there would be exemption. So, Omar Rav Akulu, Rav says, regarding all items, clothing, vessels, fruits, vegetables, there is exemption. Even regarding clothing, my taima, why is there exemption? After all, the eating of clothing is something that is unusual. It's similar to the nezik of keren, and we know that keren is something culpable in a public thoroughfare. So why here is Rav saying that for the eating of clothing, why would there be exemption? So Rav introduces a rule. Kol hamishaneh. Uvo acher v'shina bo potter. Anyone who behaves in an unusual fashion, and in our case, he who left clothing in a public thoroughfare. The owner of those clothing did something strange, leaving clothing lying in a public thoroughfare. And then, uvo acher v'shina bo, the animal came along and ate clothing. The animal's eating clothing is something strange. So that when you have, we'll say, a strange behavior. Upon a strange behavior, the animal's eating of clothing that were left in a public thoroughfare, that results in exemption, potter. Ushmuel Omar lo shanu. Shmuel qualifies the Mishnah's exemption of eating in a public thoroughfare to eloperos virokos, where the animal ate that which you would expect it to eat. Fruits and vegetables. Avol ksus v'kelim chayeves. However, if the animal eats clothing or vessels, the owner of the animal must compensate. Now, the next word is, you see, v'chein, but we have a semicolon beforehand so that you don't read the v'chein, which means and he too, as a continuation of Shmuel, but rather V'chein Omar Reish Lakish Akulhu. Reish Lakish is, the Gemara is saying, and thusly says Reish Lakish as well, like Rav. So that the use of the semicolon here stops you from reading the V'chein as we said, as a continuation of the thinking of Shmuel. But rather, Reish Lakish parallels Rav. V'ozda reish lokish l'tamei. And reish lokish, in ruling that there is culpability for all items the animal eats in a public thoroughfare, I should say there is exemption for all items the animal eats in a public thoroughfare. This position of Reish Lakish is consistent with Reish Lakish elsewhere. The Omer Reish Lakish, Shtei Poros B'Rishus HaRabim. Imagine there are two cows in a public area. Achas Revutzo V'Achas Malechas. One is lying down and the other is walking by. Boato, and then there is an action of kicking. Kicking, when you're dealing with an animal, is something unusual. Mehaleches b'ravutza p'tura. If the walking animal kicks the animal lying in the public thoroughfare, there is exemption. No payment must be made for the damages. Ravutza b'maleches chayevus. If the animal lying in the public domain kicks the walking animal, then there is obligation to compensate. The ruling of Reish Lakish is said to parallel Rav. Now, Rav introduced a rule, namely, Kol HaMishane Ubo Acher V'Shina Bo Poter. Well, how can we superimpose that rule on Reish Lakish's scenario? As follows, the animal that's lying in a public thoroughfare is doing something unusual. The walking animal that kicks the lying animal, we mentioned that kicking is an unusual act. So that walking animal did an unusual act upon something that was unusual, namely the animal lying in the Rishus HaRabim. And hence, Reish Lakish rules, there is exemption. And the idea here is to parallel that point of Reish Lakish to someone who left clothing in a public domain, lying in the public domain, similar to the animal lying in the public domain, and an animal comes along and eats those clothing. Rav says that the owner of the animal is exempt, similar to the walking animal that kicked, which is an unusual act, the animal lying in the public domain. So that a strange act done upon something that's in a strange position results in exemption. We continue in the Gemara on the first wide line for Rabbi Yochanan Omar Lo Shanu Elo Peiros V'Yorokos. The exemption mentioned in the Mishnah applies only to the animal eating fruits and vegetables in the Rishus HaRabim. Avoksus V'Kelim Chayeves. But the animals eating of vessels and clothing and vessels, results in culpability. So that Rabbi Yochanan's ruling would seem to parallel Shmuel's ruling before, word for word. The Gemara asks, being that we have Rabbi Yochanan arguing with, Rabbi Yochanan arguing with Reish Lakish regarding the need to pay for an animal eating clothing in a Rishus HaRabim, whereby Reish Lakish said, like Rav, there's exemption, and Rabbi Yochanan says, like Shmuel, there is culpability. We now ask, Lemo Rabbi Yochanan les lay de Reish Lakish afilu b'shtei poros? Should we say that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish even regarding the case of the two cows? Reish Lakish's will say other point. Lo. So we say not so. Regarding Reish Lakish's other point, regarding the two cows, Rabbi Yochanan does not disagree. Lo oilam is lay. Rabbi Yochanan will agree with Reish Lakish in that case. Where the walking animal kicks the animal lying there will be exemption. What's the difference between the walking animal kicking the lying animal, where Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan will agree that there is exemption, and the case of the clothing that were lying in the Rishus HaRabim, and an animal comes and eats them? So the Gemara points out the following is the difference. Ksus avdi inshi demanchi glimi umispechi. Clothing lying in the Rishus Rabim is not necessarily the function of something unusual. People will manchi, lay down, glimi, their garments, umispechi, and rest. So you'll find people will lay down their clothing, their coats, their jackets, for a few minutes to rest. So the presence of clothing lying in the Rishus HaRabim is not unusual. Avul behema lav urcha. But an animal lying in a Rishus HaRabim, that's really strange. And therefore, walking animal kicks it, Rabbi Yochanan will agree with Reish Lakish that is grounds for exemption. The Mishnah pointed out that even though the eating of fruits and vegetables in the Rishus HaRabim on the part of an animal carries with it exemption, the imnenes mishalemes mashenes. The Mishnah said, however, if the animal benefited, so that it pays we'll call it the benefit rate. Now the benefit rate, the Gemara asks, v'kama, how much is that? The point that we want to emphasize is that mashinenis is a rate that is less than the actual, let's say, market value of that which the animal actually ate. So when you say it pays for how much it benefited, how much is that? Rab Omar Dmei Omir. Rabba says, even if the animal ate, let us say, barley, which is more expensive than Omir, all the owner of the animal has to pay is Dmei Omir. What is Dmei Omir? So Rashi says, Kashin V'Tevin, straw and hay. If we look at Rashi across from here, Dmei Omir, Shim Ochlo Soirim, Kedei Sviasa, if the animal, in fact, ate to its satisfaction, it ate barley, Eino Mishalim Lo Elo Domim Shoyot Sorich Litein Bekashin V'Tevin. The owner of the animal would pay the owner of the Sorim the value that he would have had to pay for straw and hay, lahachila, to feed the animal. Diomar Le Yevshi Lahachila Sorim Elo Kashin V'Tevin. I can't afford to feed my animal barley. All I can afford in general is to pay for straw and hay. The Gemara continues, Rava Omar Demei Soirim Vezoil. If the animal ate barley, it'll pay the cheap rate for barley. Now the bottom line in the cheap rate is 2/3 of the market value. There's a Rashi that explains Demei Sorim Bezoil Kfisha Yitzorch Likach Sorim Lema'achola Im Ho Yitzorch La'achila Sorim V'lo Yitein Lo Kishar Shebashuk. The owner of the animal doesn't pay the market value of the Sorim Dilmo Iyu Lo Ma'achila Sorim. Why not? Because maybe the owner of that animal in general doesn't feed it barley. Elo Bezoil Yitein Amir Perek Misha Meis. Rather, he pays the cheap rate, as the Gemara in Bava Basra says. V'chol zuza choshev ba'arba danki dahainu shnei shlishi hadomim. For every zuz of market value, you will pay 2/3 of that to the owner of the barley. We continue. Tanya in the Gemara. Tanya kavosi d'rabo. Tanya kavosi d'rabo. We have Tanaic sources supporting both approaches. Tanyo Kavose de Rabo. The following source supports Rabo, who said Deme Omir, Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ein Mishalemes El Deme Omir Bilvad. The offending animal, the owner of that animal, pays only the value of Omir, hay and straw. Tanyo Kavose de Rabo, and here we have a Tanaic source supporting Rava, im nenis mishamas mashenenis. If the animal benefited from what it ate, the owner pays the value of its benefit. Ketzad, how are we to calculate that? Ochla kavu kabayim. If the animal ate a kav is a measure, kabayim is twice two kavim of food. Ain omrim tisham demehem. We don't say, well, you pay the actual value of that which your animal ate. Rather, we estimate how much would a person pay to feed his animal something that's fit for it. Even though it's not accustomed to eating it. Since we make our calculation regarding something that's roilo, that's fit for an animal, if the animal ate wheat, which is not animal feed, or something bad for it, the owner doesn't have to pay anything because there's no nehenes, there's no benefit to the animal. Now, we want to look together at a Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines. Rashi says, Afal bi she'eino rogi lahachila sorim, ela omir, mishalim lo demei sorim, fi ma she'odom achir rogi liten lebehemto, kav o kabayim. The Afal bi she'eino rogi, as Rashi says, even though you are not accustomed to feeding your animal barley, but you are used to feeding your animal hay and straw, nevertheless, you pay for the value of the barley. And the point of this source is to show that you will pay in barley terms, albeit the cheap rate, and that's why this source supports Rava, who said you pay in barley terms. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side of our margin, and we notice the Nosei / Mivneh, and also take note that we indicate Ad Chof Aleph Amid Aleph. In other words, we have in front of us a rather lengthy discussion. The double underline that will appear shortly are Shlavei Birur, stages in clarifying. Mahu hamikre shel hador b'chotzer chaveru shelo midaito. We will be seeing in the Gemara a case of someone who lives in someone else's property without the owner's knowledge. She olav sho'alu, regarding that case, we ask ma dino legabi chiv tashlum. What is his obligation regarding the need for paying? Ze nehene veze lo choser. We will see a discussion concerning someone who benefits from someone else who at the same time is not losing anything. So you have party A is benefiting from party B who is not losing. The Gemara. Omar le Rav Chisda l'Rami bar Chama. Lo havis gabon b'urta b'tchuma. You, Rami, were not with us b'tchuma. The word betchuma means, according to Rashi, one of two things. You weren't together with us, you weren't near us, in order for you to have been able to come. And another explanation of betchuma is you weren't in the Beis Medrash. So Rav Chisda says to Rami Bar Chama, you weren't by us, the Iboya Lon Mili Mal Yisa. We raised an interesting question, Omar. So Rami Bar Chama's curiosity was aroused. My Mili Malia, so what was your interesting discussion about? Omar Lei, so Rav Chisda says, Hador b'chotzer chaveru shelo midaito. Someone lives in someone else's property without the owner's knowledge. Tzorach la'alos lo yischaro ein tzorach. Does he have to pay for that or not? Hechi dummy. Before we can analyze the question, we have to know what are the circumstances. And we indicated in our note on the side that here we have stages of analysis. E lema b'chotzer de lo kaimo la agra V'gavra d'lo ovid l'megar. If you think that we're talking about a chotzer that ordinarily, a courtyard, a property, piece of property that's not ordinarily rented out. And the fellow living there was not someone who needed to rent. In other words, it's the person that was dwelling there had other property that was available to him. Yet he decided to locate himself in someone else's property. Well, ze lo nehene, veze lo choser. The fellow who is dwelling in his friend's property, he is not benefiting. He had other options of where to live, so that this property doesn't represent to him a particular benefit. And the owner is not losing. He wasn't going to rent it out anyway. So it's obvious that in a case like that, he would not have to pay. Ela, so we try another approach. B'chotzer d'kaim ala agra, the location in which this fellow positioned himself was a chotzer, was a courtyard that was ordinarily rented out. V'gavra d'ovid l'megar, and the person that decided to park himself there is someone that had no other options. He would have had to rent. Well, zenene v'zechoser. While one is benefiting, the other is losing out. Rashi, the second line from the bottom, says, zenene sherehoyo lo liskor bayis achir. He would have had to rent some other house so that his dwelling in this particular location is a benefit to him. This courtyard would have been rented out to someone else. In the meantime, this guy is living in it. So there, it's obvious that he has to pay. While one is benefiting, the other one would otherwise be losing out. So you have to compensate the owner of the property and pay him the rent. Lo tzricha, the question that Rav Chisda said they were discussing, is necessary in the following. B'chotzer d'lo kai malagra, it's a non-rental piece of property. It's property that wouldn't have been rented out anyway. V'gavra d'ovid l'megar, and the person that's dwelling there had no other options. He didn't have another place in which to stay. This is a case of zenehne. The one who's dwelling there is the beneficiary, while the other fellow, the owner of the property, isn't losing out by this guy's being there. My, what is the din? Motzi omar le mai chasartich. Can the dweller say, what loss did I cause you? You weren't going to rent it out to anyone else anyway. Odilma motzi omar, or the owner of the property could say, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, ha is hanis. Well, you benefited. You benefited, so pay for the fact that you benefited. Omar le, Romi Barchamo says back, well, masnisin he, you're so proud of your discussion, but it's a Mishnah. The answer to the question is a Mishnah. And by saying that, he's implying you should have known the answer. All of the great rabbis of the Gemara knew the Mishnayos. Well, Surah Chista says, hey, Mas Nisan, which Mishnah are you referring to? Omar Le, so Romi Barchama says, Lechit Shamishli. First, before I answer you, I want you to serve me. There's an idea here that when someone serves someone else, so he's more receptive, more accepting, will be more accepting of whatever he hears. So, Shokel Sudre Korach Le. So Rav Chisda took Rav Romi Barchama's turban and Korach Le and folded it up for him. Omar Le. So Romi answers. And here we have a marking on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh, the structural note, the triangle with the point facing upwards indicates chayav l'shalem, an obligation to pay. These triangles are attempts to resolve the issue of zenene v'ze lo chaser, where one benefits while at the same time it's not at the other person's expense, it's not causing the other fellow a loss. Sources will appear as we go through this sukya, some indicating that he has to pay. The inverted triangle, when it appears, will be an indication of poter milashalim. The diamonds that you see introduce deos shechayav l'shalem, opinions that you have to pay, and the diamond that has the bottom tip colored in, deos shepoter milashalem, opinions that indicate one is exempt from paying. So in the course of the sukya, you'll see Tanaic sources, and we've indicated the dual direction that they may take, and additionally we'll see opinions, and as we've marked them, indicating what side they will take. So now the Gemara continues. Rav Romi Bar Chama says, Omar Lei, Im Nehinis, Mishalem Es Mashines, our Mishnah on Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis, where the animal was eating food in a public area, if the animal benefited, so you must pay for it. So you see that you follow benefit as a determining payment. Omar Rava. Rava heard Rami Bar Chama's answer. In other words, Rami Bar Chama was citing our Mishnah as a basis for resolving the issue of Zenene Vezelo Chaser. Rava felt that the Mishnah is not a parallel case. The Mishnah is not similar to the discussion. And Rava says, Kama lo choli v'lo margish gavra de more saye. The Rashi explains in Maseches Yuma, as the note on the side indicates, and we've written in the Rashi from there. Let's read what we have in our the starred note on in the margin. Kama somuchu muftach, how reliant and secure is someone v'ein sorach lachlois v'lidoig mikoron, doesn't have to worry about any evil, any bad. Mi shak kodesh baruch hu be'ezro, he who the Almighty is assisting. If someone is experiencing divine protection, he has nothing to worry about. So Rava says that idea applies to Rami Bar Chama. And we continue in our Gemara. The Afa Gav Delo Domi Lemas Nisan, even though the answer that Rami Bar Chama gave is to the question of the Chotzer, Zenene Vezelo Chotzer, even though the Mishnah that Rami Bar Chama cited is so unlike the issue that was raised by Rav Chisda, Kibla Mine, Rav Chisda nevertheless accepted Rami Bar Chama's answer, and he didn't raise any questions. So Rami Bar Chama got off real lucky. Well, what's the objection? So they go, Rava points out, hi, our Mishnah, Zenene Vezeh Choser. In our Mishnah, there was an owner of food that experienced a loss. The owner of the animal benefited, but it was at someone else's expense. V'hai, the question of the chotzer was Zenene Vezeh Lo Choser Hu. The fellow dwelling in there benefited, but it wasn't at the owner's expense. He wasn't going to rent it out anyway. The contrast, the difference seems to be so obvious. We ask for Rami Bar Chama what was on his mind. Stam Peres Bishus Arabi Mafkuri Mafkir Lohu. Rami Bar Chama was figuring that if someone leaves his fruits in a public domain from where the animal ate them, the owner of those fruits has given up on them. He's declared them hefker, declared them unowned. So in that sense, it too is a case of zeh neheneh v'zeh lo chaser. Tanan. We have another triangle, and we indicated before that with these sources, we're going to try to figure out, try to conclude the question of zeh neheneh v'zeh lo chaser. So we have a source, Tanan, Hamakif Chavero Misholosh Ruchoisov. We have two parties, and there's a diagram that you can see in the Rashi. There's a fellow, we'll call him Ruvain, from the outside. This is an aerial view of fields. Ruvain has three fields that border on an inner field owned by Shimon. So Hamakif Chavero, Makif is to surround, like you may be familiar with the word hakofis. Hamakif chavero misholosh ruchosav. Ruvain surrounds Shimon from three sides. Vegodar es orishono vesashni vesashlishis. And he erected fences on the first, second, and third sides. Ein mechayven oisoi. We do not obligate Shimon to participate in the fences that Reuven put up. We look at Rashi. V'godar, Rashi, just a couple lines up from here. V'godar Reuven es rishona, somuch l'sode Shimon, levad mechitzes chitzene shoylo beino l'shar b'kois. Reuven, in addition to the outer walls surrounding his field, he also set up inner walls between his property and Shimon's property. And he did this on three sides. Rashi continues, Ein mechayven oso. Rashi says, Ein mechayven es Shimon klum. Shimon is not obligated to participate in those fence costs at all. Demayahani lay, what benefit do these fences have to Shimon? Hare sodeo psucho mitzad revias. His field is open on the fourth side. So once his field is still open, the walls that Reuven set up on three sides offer Shimon no protection. Now we can infer from this, we continue in the Gemara, Ha Revius, however, had Reuven surrounded on four sides and erected fences on four sides, Mechayven Oisoi, we would have obligated the inner neighbor Shimon to participate in the wall construction, the fence construction. Shma mino, we see from here, ze nene, Shimon who has benefit from being enclosed, being protected, v'ze lo chaser, the outer fellow, Reuven, is not losing. Rashi says, "Vezelo chaser Reuven sherei yesh lo ligdor sodeu." He would have had to fence in his field anyway. And what's the result of Shimon's being enclosed on four sides? Chayav, he has to participate in the cost. So we see from here a case of zenene vezelo chaser is yes obligated to participate in the costs. The Gemara rejects this. Shiny Hossam. The case of Reuven enclosing the inner field is different. The Omar Lay, Reuven, the outer fellow, can say, At Goramto Li Egefa Yisera. By your presence here, you cause me to lay out money for extra fence material. In other words, had you not been here, had you not been the owner of the inner field, it would have been sufficient for me to have my outer fences surrounding my property. And therefore, this is a case of Zenen. It's true that Shimon benefits, but Vezeh Choser, Reuven is losing out by Shimon's presence. So once Shimon derives benefit, he must compensate. That's a clear case of needing to participate in the costs. But and therefore it doesn't parallel the discussion that Rav Chisda raised. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ta Shma. Now the inverted triangle would be indicating that there should be exemption from paying. Omar Rav Yossi, im omad nikif, v'godar eser avias. Nikif is the one who is surrounded. Namely, in our example before, Shimon, if he arose and built up a fence on his fourth side, megadlin olavis hakol, then we expect him, we impose upon him the need for participating in the costs of all the fences. Taima de Godar Nikif. The reason is that he took the initiative. Ha Makif Potter. However, had Reuven been the one to build up the fourth side, then Shimon would have been exempt. Shma mino zen enevezelo choser Potter. We see there that Shimon is benefiting, and Reuven is not losing out. He is exempt. Shimon is exempt from participating in the costs. The Gemara responds, let me read that last phrase again. Shma mino zeh nenev azeh lo choser poter. The Gemara rejects this and says, shiny hosam, that is different. The Omar Lay, Shimon in that case could have said, l'didi sagi li v'netira bar zuza. It would have been enough for me to have a source of protection costing very little, a zuz. Zuz meaning a small amount of money. The Rashi says, l'didi sagi li v'netira bar zuza. Lo hoyo yecholus b'yodi ligdor gedir shel avonim. I couldn't have afforded what you built up on the fourth side of a stone wall. I couldn't have afforded that. It would have been enough to have a mere thorn fence between the two of us. And therefore, this is not parallel to the case of Hador B'chotz Chaver Shalom Idaito, the case that Rav Chisda raised. As we said, because here the fellow benefiting has a claim of why he should not have to compensate or pay for the benefit that he is receiving. Toshma, the inverted triangle, as we mentioned already, indicates a direction of thought for exemption from paying. Habayis Swaliyos Shel Shnayim Shenaflu. A structure having a second story and an entrance level fell down. And the structure was owned by two people, a fellow owning the Aliyah, the second story, and a fellow owning the Bayis, the entrance level structure. Omar Baal Hualiyah Labal Habayis. Livnos. The upper fellow wanted his apartment to be rebuilt, so he said to the fellow who owned the lower structure, build your house, build your apartment, so that I can then build upon that my apartment. Fueno Rotze. And the lower fellow doesn't want to rebuild. Hare Balo Aliyah Boina Bayis Vyoshe Ba. So we say that the fellow who owned the upper structure, he has the right to build the lower structure and dwell in that until the owner, the previous owner of the lower structure, until he pays the upper fellow his expenses, the expenses that he laid out for building it. Yitziyosu the Mechayev Leibal Habayis. What we see here is the bias owner has to pay the expenses. Ha Schoro Lo. But you do not see any discount for the rent value that the upper fellow enjoyed up till this point. The upper fellow, in the meantime, had been dwelling in this lower structure that he, the lower fellow, that the upper fellow rebuilt. He's going to get compensation for all his expenses and not have to offer any discount in exchange for the rent value that he enjoyed. Shma mino zen ene vezelo choser poter. So we see from here where one benefits, the other, and the other fellow is not losing out. You don't have to pay for the benefit that you enjoy. The Gemara says that case is different though. Shiny hosom, that is different. The upper fellow had a legal claim on that lower structure, the base of alil mishtabed. The bias, the lower structure, is duty bound to be there for his upper structure. So that as long as the original lower owner didn't want to rebuild, the upper fellow had a claim on that lower structure insofar that it is mishubad, it is bound to be there in order to support that upper structure that he wanted to rebuild. And as such, obviously, it's not similar to the case of someone who's coming along and parking himself in someone else's property. There, the owner of that property wasn't bound to the traveler who's just parked himself there. Toshma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af ze dor b'chotzer chaveru shelo midaito, tzorech lahalos lo schar. Revuda says, contrary to the previous opinion, that the Baal Aliyah has to pay rent money, in other words, has to discount from the expenses that he will receive for having rebuilt the lower structure. He must discount, he must subtract the rent money that he would have to pay. So we see from Revuda that Zenene Vezelo Choser Chayav, where the upper fellow is nene, benefits, the lower fellow isn't losing out. He wasn't interested in building his house anyway. Nevertheless, the upper fellow has to pay. And the payment would be, in as we said before, in the form of a discount from the expenses that he is going to receive. The Gemara says, "Shiny Hossam." No, that's not parallel to the case of Zen and Evzelo Chosam that Rav Chisda was speaking about. Why? Mishum Shachrurisa Da'ashaisa. Literally, because of the blackening of the walls. What do we mean by that? We mean as follows. When the owner of the house pays the expenses that the upper fellow laid out for building the lower structure, you would agree that the owner of the lower structure who's laying out, who's now paying for the expenses, would have expected to receive something brand new. But he's not, because in the meantime, before he decided to pay the expenses, the upper fellow was dwelling in there, was using the property. And in the use of property, so the paint job gets a little darkened, there's wear and tear, so that the owner of the lower structure was paying full expenses, isn't getting something brand new, which would be a reflection of that which he's paying for. Therefore, the upper fellow, says Rebuta, must offer a discount to the tune of the rent money that he would have had to pay. The bottom line is that the case of the upper structure, lower structure story is not zene vezeh lo choser, but rather zenene vezeh choser. When that lower owner pays for the expenses, he was in the meantime experiencing a loss. And that's that's why he doesn't have to eventually pay full expenses, but it'll be he'll pay expenses and be able to deduct from that the rent money that was owed to him. We continue in the Gemara. This question of Zenen of Zolo Choser Shochua Bei Rabbi Ami was sent to the yeshiva of Rabbi Ami. Omar, and he Rabbi Ami responded, V'chima Osolo Ma Chosro Ma Heziko. You can see that Rabbi Ami objects to obligating the beneficiary to pay. He says, in the case of Zenen of Zel Lo Choser, what did the beneficiary do to him? What loss did he cause him? What damage did he cause? As we said, Lo Choser. So when you benefit, and it's not at someone else's expense, you don't have to pay. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Omar, Nisyashev Badover. Rabbi Chiya's reaction to the question is, we have to look into it further. Hadar Shochua Kamei Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. They then sent the same question again to Rabbi Chiya. Omar and Rabbi Chiya got the feeling that he was being nagged, so he said, "Kulei Hai Shochuli V'Ozli." They send to me this question so much. Ilu Ashkichi Ba Taimo Milo Shalachnalu. If I had found a proper analysis, would I not have sent it to them? Would I not have answered them? Itma Rav Kahana Rabbi Yochanan Eino Tzorch La'alos Loschar. Rabbi Avom Rabbi Yochanan Tzorch La'alos Loschar. So you can see that within the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, you have two diverging opinions. The opinion Rav Kahana's opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, his quote of Rabbi Yochanan, is that the beneficiary does not have to pay. Rabbi Avol, in quoting Rabbi Yochanan, says the beneficiary does have to pay. Omar Rav Popa. You'll note that we have here the beginning of a long point. This long point marking this takes us till the top line of Daf Chof Aleph. Rav Papa says, Honda Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo's ruling that payment must be made, Lav Beferush Itmar, it's not a comment that he made because of having heard Rabbi Yochanan say so explicitly, Elo Michlolo Itmar. It was something that he derived from Rabbi Yochanan, but not a result of Rabbi Yochanan saying thusly in an explicit fashion. This is not. Here we introduce a Tanaic source. It focuses on the Beis HaMikdash treasurer, the Gizbar. The Gizbar was entrusted with the monies and materials of the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, Notal Even Okuro Shel Hekdish, Hare Ze Lo Moal. If the treasurer takes from the Beis HaMikdash treasury a stone or a beam, he is not in violation of Mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is the name of the sin, or the prohibition, of deriving personal benefit from that which is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, that which has been sanctified. The Gizbar took a beam or a stone from the Beis HaMikdash. He is not said to be in violation of Mi'ilah. After all, the Beis HaMikdash material is entrusted to the Gizbar. Nosna l'chavero, if the Gizbar gives it to his friend, who Moal v'chaver lo Moal, the transfer of ownership, we'll say, or the transfer of domain from the Gizbar to his friend, that is prohibited, and hence the Gizbar is guilty of Mi'ilah, the receiver is not. Bono l'soch beiso, if the Gizbar takes this Beis HaMikdash material, like the beam from the Beis HaMikdash treasury, and he builds it into his house, he is not said to be in violation for building the beam into his ceiling until he dwells under it the value of a pruta. In other words, he dwells under it a little while. Shmuel says this will be the case if he put it, he placed it above an opening. An aruba is a skylight or an opening in one's roof. He placed the beam over that opening and sat there. And we want to emphasize the following. He placed it over this opening in his roof, but he didn't fix it there permanently. So there was no change in the beam per se. Therefore, there's no mi'ilah, there's no altering of the beam itself, there's no, and therefore there's no mi'ilah until he dwells under it. The dwelling under it represents his benefiting from hekdesh. Rabbi Avo, the Yosef, Rabbi Avo, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Avoh was seated in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, the Ka'amar Mishmei de Shmuel, and said in the name of Shmuel, Zoysei Meres, from here we see, Hador b'chotzer chaveru shalom midaito, tzorech la'alos loschar. So this is what Rabbi Avoh said in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, that from Shmuel's ruling, you see that when one dwells in someone else's property without his knowledge, payment must be made. We look at Rashi on the bottom line, Zoysei Meres Midiktoni, from the fact that in this source we learned the Chidor Tachtei Chayav, that when the treasurer dwells under the Beis HaMikdash beam, he has to pay. Even though he did all of that without the knowledge of the Beis HaMikdash, payment must be made. So Rabbi Avoh said, in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, we see from this story that when you dwell in someone else's domain without his knowledge, you have to pay. V'shosak lay, and Rabbi Yochanan remained silent. So Ihu saw Rabbi Shosik Moidele. Rabbi Avoh thought that Rabbi Yochanan's silence was approval. Velohi. And at this point, the Gemara rejects that. And I want to point out, at the beginning of this long point, the Gemara, Rav Papa said that which Rabbi Avoh said, that payment must be made, wasn't said by Rabbi Yochanan explicitly. It was something that was derived by Rabbi Avoh from Rabbi Yochanan. When you see that in the Shas, inevitably there is a weakness to what is being said. It's one thing if you quote something that was stated explicitly. It's another thing when your observation is a conclusion based on you're surmising something, what we call here michlola itmar, and oftentimes, as we said before, as we just indicated in the Shas, there is a weakness to it, and that's what we're going to see right now. The Gemara says, and Rabbi Avoh's conclusion is simply not accurate. Ashkuchi lo ashkich bei. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't paying attention to him. In other words, he wasn't according any significance to what Rabbi Avoh was saying. Why? Kidder Rabba, based on Rabba's point. The Omar Rabba, Hektish Shalomi Das. The phenomenon of Hektish, which you said was like Shalomi Das, the Gizbor was living there without the knowledge of Hektish, without the knowledge of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Chof Aleph, Kehedyot Midas Domi. That is like a case of midas with knowledge. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash represents the realm of the divine. And the divine, that's what we call das hashchina, the awareness of the Almighty. So that it's not the case of the Gizbor dwelling under that beam that he set upon his roof is not parallel to the discussion that Rav Chisda started, namely Hador b'chotzer chavero sheloi midaito. The Gemara continues. Sholach le Rabbi Abba bar Zavda lemori bormar. Boi mine me Ravuna. So Rabbi Abba sends the following message to Mori and says, Boi mine me Ravuna. The question was asked of Ravuna. Hador b'chotzer chavero shelo midaito. One who dwells in someone's property, and we add here that, as Rashi says, property that was not going to be rented out anyway. And someone parks himself in that property without the knowledge of the owner. Tzorech laslo scharo lo. Does he have to pay for his benefit or not? Of course, this is the same question that we've been dealing with till now. Adahachi noch nafshei de Ravuna. In the meantime, Ravuna passed away. So it's true the question was presented to Ravuna, but he didn't answer it. He passed away. Omar le rabo bar Ravuna. Hochi omar abba mori mishmei de Rav. So the son of Ravuna says, thusly, my father, my master, says in the name of Rav, Eino tzorech lalos lo schar. So point number one is that payment need not be made. And another point was revealed to us by Ravuna's son, V'haseicher bayis meruvein male schar l'shimon. Now this is a very obscure statement. Translated, it is, one who rents a house from Reuven has to pay rent money to Shimon. So the Gemara asks, Shimon, maya vidite, what's Shimon's role over here? Hachi ko'omar. No, let's go over the case again. Thusly, he was saying, Nimso habayis shel Shimon male loy schar. If it turns out that the property that he rented from Reuven was owned by Shimon, so rent must be paid. Now, as far as the owner, Shimon, was he aware of this? No. So the Gemara asks, Tarti, do we have here two statements that in effect contradict one another? You said in halacha number one that hador b'chotzer chaver shelo midaito, when you live in someone's property without the owner's knowledge, you don't have to compensate. And now in halacha number two, you were dwelling in Shimon's property without his knowledge, and you do have to pay. Those are two points. Tarti means two points that appear to be contradictory. The Gemara says there's no contradiction. Ha de kai malagra, ha de lo kai malagra. Point number two was a piece of property that would have been rented out otherwise. That's why you have to pay Shimon, because that's a case of zen and evzeh choser. You're benefiting, but at someone else's expense. You have to pay him for that. The number one halacha was lo kai mal agra. The property wasn't going to be rented out anyway. Itmar Nami. And you'll see we have a long marking, and it says it was said similarly. And you'll notice, of course, as we go on, another diamond, which is similar to the diamond we just experienced. So we have a second presentation of that which we just saw. Itmar Nami, Omer Abchia Bar Oven, Omer Rav, the Amri Law, Omer Abchia Bar Oven, Omer Rav Huna. Rav Chil Bar Oven is quoting some. We have two versions as to who Rav Chil Bar Oven was quoting. The first version has him quoting Rav. The second version has him quoting Rav Huna. Hador b'chotzer chaver shalom midaito eino tzorech lalos lo schar. Very similar, exactly the same thing as we saw in halacha in above in Aleph number one. No need to pay. When you're dwelling in someone else's property without the owner's knowledge, you don't have to pay. And v'hasocher bayis mibnei o'ir malas char lebailim. This point number two is just as obscure as we saw the point number two above. Someone rents a piece of property from the townsfolk. He has to pay schar to the owner. So the Gemara says, Bailim ma'avidetayu. What role does the Bailim have in this case? Hachi komar, nimsu lo Bailim, malin lohen schar. You rented a piece of property from the townsfolk, thinking that there was no actual owner, and it turns out there's a real owner of the property, so you have to pay that real owner. Ah, but while you were renting, the real owner was not aware, and yet you do have to pay. Tarki, do we then have an example here of two contradictory points? The Gemara says no. Ha de kaima la agra, ha de lo kaima la agra. Where the piece of property was to be rented out, and it was ordinarily going to be rented out. So then you have to offer compensation to the owner, because your dwelling there would cause a loss to him in preventing him to be in it not being rented out to other people. If, however, the property is not designed for rental, so then you don't have to pay. That's a case of ze nene veze lo choser. Omar of Schoiro, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav. Hador b'chotzer chavero shelo midaito. One who dwells in someone else's property that is not ordinarily going to be rented out anyway. Ein tzorech la'alos lo schar. You do not have to pay. Mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says, u'sheiyo yukas shar. We take a look at the Rashi, in the upper part of the narrow line, Shinema Ushia Yukashar. There are two explanations to this. Number one, Shade, a demon, Shishmo Shia. The name of a particular demon is Shia. Mekates Shar Bias. This demon will destroy the entrances to houses, Shein B'nei Odom Dorin Bo, which is unoccupied. A house that's unoccupied is subject to the damage that this demon wreaks. Vehilkov zeh shomad bo haneu. Therefore, the person that was dwelling in this property was actually benefiting the actual owner. Lishno achrina, another explanation of what the pasuk was saying. Bayeshu shoui v'yochid mi'ein odom, an unoccupied, desolate house. Yukashar, mazikin mekatsin oisoi. Demonic forces destroy, injure, ruin it. So, as we said, by someone being in there, he is actually benefiting the owner. Let us continue in the Gemara. Omar Mor Baravashi, Lididi Chozi Le. Mor Baravashi says, I saw that demon, umenageach kitura, and it gores like an ox. These are ideas that are a bit, we'll say, mystical, and we offered a translation, but there is more to it than we're going to be able to discuss. Rav Yosef Omar. Rav Yosef, in addressing this scenario, Hador b'chotzer chaveru shelo midaito, and concluding that there's no need for paying rent, he says, Besa Mesva Yosef. Let's look at Rashi. Besa Mesva Yosef. Bayis Shum Yusha B'dirs B'nei Adam Yosef. A house that has people dwelling in it is sustainable. Yeshuvo Kayam. It remains. It has staying power. Because people dwelling in it see what it needs. If leaks develop, cracks develop, they repair these things. So, Rav Yosef, in the spirit of what was said just before by Rav Schora, Rav Yosef is saying that your dwelling in what would otherwise be an unoccupied piece of property, you, the dweller, actually benefiting the owner. My binayu, what is the difference between these two approaches? Ika binayu, deka mishtamish bei betzivi vitivna. the point of difference would manifest itself in a piece of property that the owner doesn't actually dwell in, but he uses it as a storage facility for wood and for hay. Rashi explains the komishtamish, but we look at Rashi together. Balabayas, the owner of the property, uses it. But sivi v'tivna, shayu etsa v'tivna b'socho, v'zeh holach v'dorbo, and this fellow came along and used it as a domicile. He lived in there. Mishum shiyo leka oil mishtamish, as far as the threat caused by the demon, that wouldn't arise because the actual owner was using the property, albeit for storage purposes, but that was enough. That would be enough to keep the demon away. So your dwelling in there wasn't a source of benefit to the owner. Mishum beisa meisva ika the ainti isha v'zeshador b'yofes of aleinu. According to the Rav Yosef approach, though, if the original owner was using it as a mere storage facility, he was there on a rare occasion. So he wouldn't be there to repair developing leaks or cracks. Your being in there was offering the owner actual benefit by your constant presence. You would immediately catch any problems and repair them, offering benefit to the owner. It would appear then that in this last section of Gemara, starting from Rav Schora and Rav Yosef, their approach to Hador b'chotzer chaver shelo midai to ein tzorch l'os l'schar, the exemption from needing to pay rent, was because you were instead of paying rent, you were offering benefit to the owner anyway, and that was the source of exemption. We found that there would be a difference between the Rav Schor approach and the Rav Yosef approach in the case that you parked yourself, you dwelt in someone's storage facility. Would you be exempt then? According to Rav Schor, it would appear that you would not be exempt because the demons wouldn't have been there anyway. So your presence was of no benefit to the owner. According to Rav Yosef, even though the owner was using it as a storage facility, you nevertheless were providing benefit to the owner. Hahu gavra debono apadno akilpuloso diasmi. There was a fellow that built an apadno, a structure, a house, on a akilpuloso diasmi, on a garbage heap owned, a garbage site or a heap owned by some orphans. Agve Rav Nachman la padne mine. Rav Nachman ruled that you can't do that, and he collected the house from this guy. You built the house on someone else's property. Lema Kosova Rav Nachman, should we conclude from this that Rav Nachman holds Hador b'chotzer chaveru shelo midaito tzorach la'alos loschar, that when one dwells in someone else's property without their awareness, you have to pay for the benefit that you received. The idea being that here was a house built on property that wasn't really going to be used anyway, but you nevertheless have to pay. The Gemara responds, Hahu meikora karminoi havu dairi bay. That kilkulosa diasmi, that garbage site of the Yesemim, was originally occupied by karminoi. Karminoi is the name of a people or early ones. There's a Lishna Achrina, Rashi has Kadmonoi, earlier ones. There were earlier ones that were dwelling there and paying rent to the orphans. And Rashi says that makes it Kaimula Agra. That's a piece of property that was a source of income to the Yesayman. We continue in the Gemara. Let's read again the phrase we read. Hahu Meikora Karmonoi Havudairi Bey V'Avi Le Liasmi Dover Muat. Those people, before you came along and built your house there, was a site upon which these Karmanoi had encamped, and paid the Asaimim. They had paid them some small amount, some nominal fee. And therefore, you came along and built your house over there, thereby depriving the Asaimim of their income. Omar lay. So Rav Nachman said, Zeal paisinu liyasmi. You have to go and appease the Asaimim. You've got to offer them something. V'lo ashkach. And this fellow who built the house didn't listen. Agve Rav Nachman lapadne mine. And as we saw at the beginning of this maisa, this long story, that is why Rav Nachman collected from him his house. He took over the house because of his obstinance and recalcitrance in compensating the Yisayimim. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.